following words are our text. And having disarmed, Jesus having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is the text, my dear brother and sister. Very little has changed since Paul wrote these words 1960 years ago. He wrote them to Colossae. He could have written them to New Berlin. They didn't have a big honking industrial park like we have here, but they had trade. They were very rich. And the city was quite ancient. It had been around since about 600 before Christ. It had beautiful statues. It had great monuments and buildings galore to show the world that they were rich. In Colossae, there was a small Christian congregation, probably founded by Philemon, which was one of Paul's friends. This city was destroyed 2 years after Paul wrote this letter to the Christians in the year 62 AD of our era. Colossae, being a trade center, attracted not only trade and wealth, it attracted belief systems. It attracted a variety of human wisdom. Colossae was troubled from a spiritual point of view. Paul, in this letter, diagnoses five specific problems with that congregation. Five belief systems that had nothing to do with God or Christ or the Bible. And they were all diagnosed within the small congregation. There were a few that believed that philosophy was the answer to all of our problems. And a few believed that ritualism was the answer. A few believed in legalism. Others in mysticism. And finally, asceticism. Let's take them by parts. Paul, Dr. Paul, diagnoses his patients in Colossae. He is not a doctor of medicine, but he is a doctor of theology. He knew his theology quite well. He knew God's plan of salvation better, I believe, than any other of the disciples or apostles, because he had been taken to heaven and shown God's plan through a special revelation. So Paul looks at them and says, philosophy is limited. Through philosophizing, you cannot get anywhere because philosophy is human and therefore limited to human abilities and limits. Human reason cannot contain or understand or comprehend God. It is a losing proposition. You don't have the right equipment. God can only be accepted and comprehended by faith. And faith is a gift that God himself gives us. During Luther's time, there was the firm conviction that one day they would invent and perfect alchemy, a supposed science through which you could make gold out of less noble metals by the right mix. Luther went a step further, and he said, a philosopher trying to understand God is like the farmer that every day takes his pitchfork, goes behind his barn where there is a big mound of manure, and he revolves the manure in hopes of transforming it to gold. And he only succeeds in making it smell worse. Philosophy is very limited. It cannot comprehend God. and much less satisfy God. So much for intellectualism. Others believe that if you did the right rites, ritualists or ritualism, such as circumcise your flesh, and then you'll be acceptable to God. Paul said, Christ has cleansed all of you from top to bottom. You belong to Him. You are cleansed by the love of Christ, not through a rite. Others believed in the law of God. If we follow the law of God, we'll be saved. Nobody ever was successful. Plus, you are born in sin. You are born with a stain called original sin, and you cannot shake that. So you are unable from the beginning to please God. And why did Jesus institute a new covenant? Because the old covenant, I am God, you are my people, this is my law, do it and you shall live, or if you break my law, you shall certainly die. Nobody ever fulfilled the law of God. For that reason, Jesus instituted a new law, a new covenant, a new alliance between us and Him. A law that is no law at all. It is the gospel, the good news, forgiveness of sins, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. That works if God forgives me and heals me. And forgive and heal, He does. Look at David, who plotted someone's death, who committed adultery, was restored. Gone that sin, healed, and now as a man before God, accepted by God. And then there were those mystics that claimed to have talked to someone from the other side or seen an angelic vision. The mystics that like to lie to people. There is a mystic on television. She has a show. She goes by Long Island Medium. Medium between the dead and the living. She claims on television that she actually can speak to the dead. Wrong on all accounts. First, because God said there is no more contact between a person who dies and those that remain alive. To man, it is ordered to die once, and after that, the judgment, says God. Also, if a person who is with God, we're given the opportunity to come back and talk to us, they would say, affirm, no, never again. Because if you are in heavenly bliss, why would you possibly want to come back to this imperfect world of ours? They are in God's care, those who die, until the day of the resurrection, when we all will be together with Him in heaven. Until then, they are in communion with God, as you and I are. For that reason, this is such a precious time when we, in preparation for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, say, and now, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, to which our loved ones who died in Christ belong, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabbath. That's the moment of communion, of holy communion. Not directly with the church triumphant, but indirectly through God. He is in communion with them as He is in communion with us. For that reason, we call it Holy Communion. There is no place for mysticism. I grant you that once in a while the Lord gives us special gifts. One special moment in my life was when I was invited to preach at a funeral of a dear professor of mine from Concordia St. Paul. It took place in the western side of the state. And in my sermon, I described the grave to a deadly situation, but it's filled with life, very much like a butterfly while it's still in its little cloister there, looks dead, dry, brown, and all of a sudden it comes to life and a beautiful butterfly comes. And I said, that's why this is a beautiful example of the resurrection. After the service in church, we carried his casket 300 feet to the grave behind the church. I'm not making this up. As soon as the casket was placed on its place above the grave, a butterfly comes fluttering and sits on the middle of the casket and kept going like this throughout the whole interment service. I think that's God's humoring us, or sometimes underlining our words, whatever. But I don't attribute to that any mysticism. I wink at God and say thank you for confirming what I just said. But you see, there is no mysticism. It's all made up. We are rational, logic-thinking human beings. What we don't understand is not for us to understand. And trying to get something that God did not give us or does not give us is futile and foolish. And then there are those that believe into asceticism. Ascetics believe in training the body, in subordinating the body into shape, into discipline, denying the body anything that is happy or funny or good. Don't smile, and especially never ever laugh, because that is not pleasing to God. But if you beat your body into shape and curb its wishes and desires, you will please God. No, I think God gave us a sense of humor to help us plow through the tougher parts of our life on earth. We can often laugh a problem away rather than solving it. No wonder the people in Colossae were so sad and troubled. Under such attacks, many would and will buckle. But the old even foe came up with all those isms which Paul all defeated by wielding the weapon glorious, by using the word of God, one after another, in the second chapter of Colossians. We in New Berlin are also under attack of many isms. And besides these five that were common in Colossae, we have egotism, in which I am the center of the world, and nationalism, in which we believe that our country and not the whole world belongs to God, racism, in which we believe we are superior to other people that are not like us, and isolationism, that makes us look after our own good and only out after our own good when God gave us so much more than we need for ourselves. By curbing ourselves to God's directive, we are saved, and through us the world will be saved. Let's not give that up, ever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let us now stand and pray.